Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the show today. We've got some exciting news for you. The general availability, meaning go live for everyone for the new Yammer. We're going to talk about the new gallery, large gallery view, very large gallery view for Teams. And then we're going to maybe rename a title or two in SharePoint. Let's roll it.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
I am enjoying the new format. I know that our June poll has completed, and we're going to now open it up to
non-listeners
or people who aren't so regular.
Sure, we will create it and we'll send that out via the socials this week, asking for input. Letting people know that we are listening to our users. So, hey, why don't you become a user or listener? Wait a minute.
You must work in IT, dude.
I think I do.
You're a user, user of podcasts
and show.
User of live streams. I just thought I'd greet the users in the live stream.
I noticed that in the chat.
Yeah.
Yes. High-end users watching. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and I think it is fun. It is fun when it's 20 seconds delay and they don't know, what are you talking about? Okay, enough of that. And we wish we could do the same for the podcast listeners too. But now, shall we crack into it? And look, we do things in a slightly different order because we it's not from the top to the bottom. We choose at least three each that we want to dive into deep. Daniel, this one is for you. And I've got something special for this first announcement. We'll have to describe it after people see the reaction, the end users in the live chat, as we change to the something special for your first announcement. Are you ready, Daniel?
I really don't know if I am ready.
Right.
I mean, I guess I'll have to be. Microsoft Teams, this one is all about the large gallery view preview. See up to 49 participants.
All right.
This is MC217716.
Now, I have done something non-traditional here for our show. I'm not displaying the message. What am I displaying? Say this for the tape.
This is for those audio listeners. Daryl is showing how the grid view will look for 49 people, and he's put me in one of those boxes. He has done such a great job. I think everyone should applaud. Even those that can't see it, you should applaud because it is miraculous. So I am one of the boxes in that grid view that everyone has seen when they've been talking about this feature coming out. So, but there's some interesting things about this that I don't think people have realized. And first of all,
count with me. Yes. 7 by 7 plus
you.
One.
So it's actually 50. I mean, if you count yourself.
Yeah.
So it's 49 others that could be, as long as they have video on, remember that. So it's not going to show a square or actually a rectangle of them for their initials. If they don't have video on, it won't show them. So here are the things that I don't think people realize. First, the large gallery is an optional feature.
Mm.
And it is something that you individually will have to turn on. For each meeting, it is turned off by default. And so each meeting user may, if you want to, switch it in and out of this large gallery view at any time. So you don't have to use it if you don't want to. And why would you not want to use it? Well, I can give you a good reason. It's really hard to see people in those little bitty squares. Oh,
should we go back to that for the...
Sure. I mean, yes, you could see people's faces, but is there quality in that? Maybe. I don't know. I think
which one of you is speaking there?
Yeah, I think there's value in it in some meetings. But if you think about every meeting, you know, if you have large meetings and you're going to do this, I'm pretty sure most people are not going to have up the grid view all the time. You might turn it on initially. Hi, you know, oh, I like that sweater. I don't know.
That's the perfect use case. It's welcome everyone. It's hello all of you who have joined and you've added your video.
Well, and I think there's actually a lot. There's this growing, and I kind of like it. There's this growing push for people to turn off their video after that initial kicking off of the meeting. Now, there's some cases that I think are very useful for leaving on video, and I'm not saying you should turn off video, but things like if I'm presenting something, my video doesn't need to be turned on. You know, so I'll turn my video off when I'm presenting my desktop or something. Often I'll do that just because it's not a, for me, it's, I'm able to concentrate, on what's happening. I want people to look at my screen, not my video. So, anyway, so you're able to turn it on and off, this big, huge gallery view, if you want to. There's others that I know will love it, especially those that are missing being in the office and seeing people, seeing their peers. So I know they'll love it.
That
so,
on and off thing, do you think it's something that you can do during the call?
Yes.
Like so it's a scene?
Yes. The way they say it, users may switch in and out of large gallery view at any time.
Great.
So, but they don't tell us how they're going to do that. So I'm sure it's going to be in the probably in that menu, but they don't give any details about that. So, but while in preview, user interactivity with those individual participant videos. What? Well, that's a lot of big words. What do you mean, Daniel? That is, you know, you could pin. A lot of people actually don't know this. If you hover over someone's video in Teams, there's an ellipsis. Those three dots. You click it. You can actually pin their video to your view so that they don't ever roll off. Even if they're, you know, right now we can have, if you have 9 people speaking, or if you have 10 or 12 or whatever people in the meeting, and that person never speaks again, if you have them pinned, you still see them. Even if they would traditionally roll off of the view. Well, you're not going to be able to do that right now in while this feature is in preview. This large gallery view is in preview. You won't be able to mute audio. So while you're in this large, you know, gallery view of someone, so of people. So they'll be rolling out this feature very, very soon. They're talking about early July, which is now. With a target of full availability, including mobile clients on, you know, for iOS and Android by the end of August. So you think about those, I know it's a long rollout, but
no, I'm just thinking about 49 on a phone.
I know this is interesting. Unless you have one of those humongous phones, you know, maybe a tablet, you know, a tablet probably will
yeah.
Well, I guess, I don't know. So anyway, that it's a long rollout. They're doing it to, you know, the targeted tenants, targeted release that will happen now. We're getting it. Now, you won't be able to see it unless you get more than, you know, unless you get those 49 people. Well, I guess more than 9 now. So if you get, you know, 10 or 12 people, you'll start seeing the ability to do a large gallery. And they'll all need to turn on their video, too. Remember, it only shows those with a video. So if they don't have video on, then it won't count. And so you won't have that large gallery view. So, yay is the way I'm going to approach this.
I like that. Lots of emotion there. Well done. All right. Well, I'm sure that let's see the end users in the chat. I'm not going to let this go. We'll check in with the end users in the chat room. They seem to. Yeah, I mean, there's some mixed responses there, too. That's all good. Active talkers, only active talkers on iOS, I'd imagine.
Maybe.
All right. Well, that's some news, some big news. It's good, and I think like it's going to be useful, probably mostly useful in the education space.
I would agree with you. This is when it was announced, I want to kind of point out. When it was announced, the target actually was toward education. It was not to say it's only for education. I think there's definitely some use cases for this feature outside of education, but it definitely was kind of pointed at education, along with several other updates that I think are actually really cool. So, you know, this is not the only update, you know, coming to Teams that that I think is really nice. You could read about those on the blog. That there's a link on this post, but breakout rooms is another that was announced that I think are, it's actually way better a feature, something that, or not way better, a feature that I'm looking more forward to than this 49 grid view is breakout rooms. So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Although you'll have to wait to see that in the message center. I don't think we've seen that yet, have we?
No,
we haven't. Okay. All right. Well, next one, and it is our headline for the day. And it's like I've got 49 view and I can't see it. Come on. Where are you? Oh, there you are. General availability of the new Yammer. This is MC217892. And if you have, let's see, let's frame it up. It's general availability, but it has been in preview for a while. If you wanted to see this early, you'd have to speak nicely to your system admin and get them to enable it. Or you could add the Yammer Communities app within Microsoft Teams and get that experience because it would show there. Interesting how they got those two experiences of that to show it early in Teams. So it was announced in April, and it's coming out of preview. It's going to be generally available, beginning that rollout in mid-July and anticipate it at the end of July. We'll talk a bit about what does active mean. But this is a big deal for Yammer because one of the often made comments about Yammer was, hey man, this you haven't seen any significant changes in the product for years. you know, it was like shuffle things here, do things there.
And, there was a lot of promises.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, finally, you could say year of Yammer and definitely say that there has been a lot of changes. This is a big release. It is a release where Yammer is one of the first to use the Fluid framework to present and show a full user interface. It is rehashing the home feed and sort of trimming down what that's all about. This new update also really helps to frame Yammer's better purpose in the Microsoft 365 stack. It is great as a community platform if an organization chooses to use it that way. You know, it can be collaborative and you can still do a bit of teamwork in there, but that's not what they're promoting with Yammer now. It's mostly about how do we bring people together. And certainly some new features that are coming out with this GA that help with that. Now, in the message, there is a list of things that we have seen in preview, the machine learning-based home feed. So that's picking out items that are relevant to you, and it's using a new way of doing that. You know, Yammer's always done that, but supposedly it does a better job. Of course, the new visual design in Fluent. And there are some new branding options. I quite like that that you're able to drop a header image behind it. You're not stuck with choosing your color and choosing a couple of tattoo kind of designs. Actually, I admit we've actually used that for a few Yammer groups internally, and they display quite nicely in Teams because they get the message across and the banner fits that consistent branding. Pausing there, I was about to ask Daniel what his thoughts were before he took a sip of his tall glass of water.
Did you just call me a tall glass of water?
No, I said the tall glass of water. But I mean,
oh okay,
you're not that tall. Sheesh. Oh yeah. So he takes another sip.
Ask your question, Daryl.
I know.
Before I hang up.
Oh okay. Well, we could ask the Yammer community. No. Of the few updates that are being released, what are some of the things that you think would be quite useful in this general availability release?
Well, the new look definitely. Now it's not feature really, but it's something that I've been looking forward to the redesign to see how they, we had seen how it was going to look, and I liked it. Like, oh, that's that looks a lot better, I think. I think a lot of people, it seems kind of small, but those new reactions to posts, you know, we have so many emojis and different ways of liking things now in other platforms that, you know, I'm sure people will enjoy that. So, I do like that one about, the featured conversations, you know, being able to, any way we can reduce noise would be great. And if you need to be able to, having the ability to feature conversations rather than some chatter, chatter's fine. And that's great. It's just, you know, I don't want my users to be overwhelmed when they're utilizing the platform. Wow, there's just so much here. I'm going to have to spend so much time keeping up with what's going on and seeing it. I just don't want that. So,
yeah, fair comment. It's probably one of the features that you'd look at it and go, well, this has been in community platforms for some time. So, well done, Yemma, for finally getting there and using it. Mm-hmm. But the impacts of, as you say, being able to pin a top conversation or two and saying, look, check this out. This is where all the action is happening. It's pretty important that you'll sort of dive in there and have your opinion. That can be used for a lot of things, you know, getting feedback about things, a top question that might be helping with, you know, the purpose of the community might be to support a cutover, you know, there's all sorts of things. So yeah, look, without going too much more on that, they did release a few other features that we haven't seen in preview yet, along with GA. So a few things that will guide you along with this new experience of what it looks like, the explanation for why posts are appearing in your home feed. So that kind of pops up. You mentioned the reaction. So that is a new thing since preview and featured conversations.
I think just a last thing I'd mention, and Phil mentioned it in the chat room, and I agree with him, is that external networks got zero love from the update. And really, a lot of organizations, that's how they started using Yammer. I've seen it with my own two eyes, where organizations saw that external network as, oh, here's how I'm going to start using it. And then they did. And they really started, and it was kind of filled a need that nothing else filled within the Microsoft stack. And really that functionality got no love with this update. So it'll be interesting to see if it does in the future.
Mm. Yeah, good comment. So in terms of what you need to do to prepare, global admins do have a few options about turning this on. So it's interesting. It's GA, but you still get to have some switches here. If you want to stay on Classic for a little while, you can. If you want to enable people to opt in, you can. If you want to make it the default setting, there's a few options there to go ahead and use. So brilliant. Well done, Yammer. And on to our next update, which is...
So, yes, the next update is the rename title column in SharePoint lists and libraries. This is MC217661. So we've actually, for many years and many versions of SharePoint, we've been able to rename the title column. But this is really, and I'd like to see the underpinnings of what this is. This is a very short message, and doesn't give us a whole lot of detail. But I'd like to see, you know, what is actually happening underneath, because in previous times when we've been able to rename columns, it still keeps that name underneath. And so when you're referencing it in previous, you know, years, it was SharePoint Designer. Now with, you know, Power Apps, or, you know, pulling in information from maybe using Power Automate, you're still going to be seeing that name of that column, you know, in certain places. So I'm wondering if it's really renaming it, or if it's just bringing that, you know, classic functionality of being able to rename the column you know, to showcase. It's going to be consistent across all the forms, which is great, you know, when you're viewing or editing the form. So that's great. I've done this so many times because title doesn't really mean anything when you're creating a solution using a list. Title, what title of what? You know, but it's just kind of a, you know, they had to go with something, right? It's just generic enough to go with something for it. But what is, you know, so you rename it to location, you know, if you're describing a facility or facility, maybe something, you know, I would say user. Most people rename the title column to something, I would say most. But anyway, so it'll be interesting to see what that is. There's something really interesting about this one, though, and I'll get to it in a second. Begin rolling out to targeted release in mid-July, which is soon, not within 30 days or giving 30 days notice, but soon. And standard production beginning late July. So it's really quick. Completed the rollout in late September. Now, why is it so long of a production rollout, you ask? I hear people asking that across, even the podcast users in the future, when they get this episode, they're going to be going, why is it taking so long to roll this out to production? Because, here's the special part, it's coming to all of the SharePoints. It's coming to commercial. It's coming to education. It's coming to DOD. It's coming to Germany GCC, which is the Germany government cloud. It's coming to all GCC, all government cloud. So everybody, all the SharePoints are getting this feature. So that's why it's taking a while, because they're rolling it out across all tenants.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, fair comment. Right. What is next?
New task experience, sir.
Oh, yeah. Yes. New task experience. So new task experience. Another thing going generally available that we've seen for a little while in preview, generally available in the Outlook on the Web experience, it is MC217689, and what is replacing tasks? It is Microsoft To Do. Now, making the point, it is for the Outlook on the Web experience. When you go to the traditional Outlook on your desktop, you're still going to see tasks as they have always been today, but Outlook on the Web has going to access Microsoft To Do. I love To Do. I think it's a great way to I find it more engaging to be able to sit, make a list of the things that I've got to do, and then start to plan that out in terms of my blocks of time in my calendar and how I'm going to do that. Didn't seem to really do that so much with the other tasks. It's doing a great job in terms of bringing other tasks across Planner and across other areas that you're working within Microsoft 365 in that area. So this new task experience will replace the old task experience for Outlook. There is a few things that are coming along with this, which have been released to To-Do recently, like list sharing with outside of the business. I know it's a good thing and I don't know. But the goal here is being able to use that for personal and for, you know, work kind of tasks as well. And co-editing features as well. The thing that's interesting about this, there is a list in the message which reminds me of some of the strengths of Outlook tasks, the traditional ones. Do you remember when some of our project managers might have used this as a light touch way of managing a project and assigning a task to you and asking you to update the progress on it with like percentages and yeah, that sort of thing. Well, there's a list of features there, Daniel, which are not going to be available in the new task experience, which is To Do, because we haven't seen that in the product to date or ever.
I won't be able to put my charms.
Yeah, and you can't record your task work hours. Yeah, you could just about use it as something of a makeshift timesheet.
Right, a lightweight project tracking tool. Yep, and it is. I don't like the removal, or I guess it's not removal, but the loss of features. I made a joke about charms, but I don't like the loss of features when we switch like this. But I think there's a product that will fill almost all of these roles. Some, it may be Project, which, you know, Microsoft definitely would like for you to sign up for, Project Online. They would love for you to subscribe to that service. So, you know, if you're wanting that experience, then Project Online is probably the better way to go anyway.
Or but Planner. Planner will fill that too, hey, to an extent.
To an extent, but it doesn't have hours tracking. No. Like you were mentioning either. So, yeah. But anyway, it, for the most part, it does the job.
Yep. Task assignment, priority levels, a bit of progress on that. Not percentage signs or percentage for task complete. But anyway, what do we need to do to prepare for this? Traditionally, yeah, there's nothing you need to do. It's just going to happen. You might want to update your training materials. You know, hats off to you if you have created training material that goes down to the level of Outlook on the web. Here's your task area. Well done. Wow. Not that area has changed much over the years. So, now's the time to update it and say start using to-do. interesting too, comment is okay, so we're losing it within Outlook on the web. We've got to-do, we've got the to-do app. We're seeing it in other places. There's also the tasks new app that's coming to Microsoft Teams to bring together to-do tasks, planner tasks, etc. So a hub for tasks. What about all these additional fields that are still going to be there in Outlook? What happens to Outlook desktop? We'll wait and see. Watch that space. We should keep ramping this up and along.
One more for me here, and it's actually earlier in the week. It is automatically block guest access to new OneDrive and SharePoint files.
Daniel, which one should I choose?
I know, I'm about to mention that. Thank you for interrupting me.
Oh, sorry.
Automatically block guest access to new OneDrive and SharePoint files until scans are complete. This is MC217583 and 584. So for some reason, they published two different versions of this. And when I say different, I only mean different because of that number. Everything else is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So pick one. It's either 217584 or 583. Pick one.
Oh, I like the 584 one because feels more recent.
Okay, sure. There's also a message called Transition to Power Platform Admin Center that we haven't covered that was also published twice as well around the same time. Don't ask me why. Anyway, so back to this one. This is all about DLP, so data loss prevention. And those that are in the SharePoint and OneDrive world know that DLP policies don't automatically go into force, meaning you got to think about a document. I upload a document into SharePoint. What happens? Eventually, at some point, it gets indexed by search, right? Eventually. Yep. It doesn't happen immediately. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. Sometimes it's, depending on if I just created the library, it could take, longer. So it indexes the content. And then if I have a DLP policy, it then has to run and check that content to see, okay, does it meet any of my requirements to run this policy against it? So there could be, in the grand scheme of thing, well, not in the grand scheme, but in the, if you're thinking about security and making sure that content is not shared with the wrong people, there could be a long time between when you upload the document and when the DLP is enforced. So what this is doing is, and it's available, and it says they're going to start the rollout at the end of June, which the feature was announced June 29th. So yeah, I guess the 30th is when they're going to, I don't know. Anyway. So they expect to be done with the rollout mid-July. But what this is going to do is it's going to, you can enable this. Now, you do have to enable it. It's a tenant property using PowerShell to be able to turn it on. But it will mark new files as sensitive by default, okay? So that basically guest users won't be able to view files until the file's been indexed and the policy job is run to make sure that, you know, it doesn't meet any of the DLP policies. So it'll mark it as that by default, which is great. I'm loving this. This is a great feature. I know there's probably some in our chat that are loving this as well. So it is this sensitive by default, I think, is actually best for every organization. Not best for every organization, but this is just for guests. This announcement is just for guests. But I can see this being, you know, functionality you should, you know, that would be great for all users within some organizations. To say, hey, I don't know if this, what this document is from the system provider. I don't know what this is, so let's mark it sensitive until we figure out if it's not. But anyway.
So I'm thinking, and maybe it's already suggested in the wording of the message and additional documents, and we've certainly got some experts in the room that can tell us about that. The chat room, not here. I know. But what I mean, okay, it makes sense. Like, we're in a project. I am on a team. I've got guests and my team with external guests. I drop in a document and I haven't checked it thoroughly enough, and DLP says, oi, hang on, there's something sensitive in there. We'll make it sensitive to start with, but now that I've scanned it, no, we're not making this available for external guests. Go away and figure that out again. Give a sanitized version. What about when a guest drops a document in? And does that mean that they can't access their own document that they've contributed to the team?
I do not see that specifically called out. I'm going to put on my rational guessing hat. And now we know that rational may not be the best thing to use, but I'm going to put on my rational thinking hat. And I'm going to say, yeah, that's exactly what that means. If you turn this policy on, remember, you're going to have to turn it on. It's not on by default. But if you turn this on, if guests add documents, then I would say most certainly other guests won't be able to access it. Will they be able to access their own content? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one. But I would say especially other guests most certainly won't be able to access it.
All right. Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think through. Something sensitive in the guest's document that is picked up by the DLP scan.
Yeah.
And
If that is the case, I mean, if once it's picked up by the scan and say, oh, that is sensitive, it marks it, then it may be that that guest who uploaded it won't get access to it. Possibly. I mean, you think about it, I'm a guest, I'm uploading a document to someone else's system, it's no longer my document. You know, that's where I'm thinking that it is. One point that I was, when I was writing notes down and I just saw Joanne in the chat room mention, is that sensitive by default feature did go GA this year already, a few months ago. So this is for guest. I think you can turn it on for guest only, not for everybody. So you can turn it on for guest. I think that's what the particular thing is here, I believe. And of course, I am open to people telling me I'm wrong. It happens all the time, but I think that's what this is all about, is really about guests specifically. So you can turn it on for them and not everyone else.
All right, yeah. And so in that scenario, a guest could contribute a document and it wouldn't be accessible to other guests, but it would be to the team hosting the Microsoft team. All right, cool. Well, our last message of the day, the week, So it's... I like to throw in some of these and highlight the equality of updates. That's right. OneDrive Sync help pain for Mac OS. MC217651. Here's one for you Mac users. You'll have a help pane for OneDrive Sync. Now, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but you know, some of these things we do tend to take for granted that, oh yeah, it's there. It's a feature that we as Windows people can see when we start uploading documents and we might want to get some support and help. But yeah, there it is. It's going to be available to Mac users beginning to roll it in early July, expected to be completed mid-July. Interesting thing, like their description is that it provides static links to help for OneDrive and off to things that are based in support.office.com. My question would be, is this going to be system sensitive? Does it know that it's on the Mac and then it's going to serve up Mac help articles to begin with? I know there are some support articles at support.office.com, excuse me, that they have the three kind of options in terms of desktop, iOS, and I think sometimes even Surface. So is this going to be a context-sensitive thing where I know I'm on a Mac, I'm requesting help. Here's the Mac help.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
maybe, yeah. Now, tenant admins, if you want to disable help.
Which yeah. I don't know why you would, but okay.
Yeah, well, look, there's some of this help has the new spam is what I'm calling it. Hey, how did we do? Can you give us some feedback on this article? Hey, how did we do? What do you think of this feature? Hey, by the way, can you give us some feedback on this? No. So maybe if you're that...
Excuse me, Daryl, could you give me some feedback on how I interrupted you just now? Thank you.
Well, I could. Maybe I'll make it July poll. Let me whip up a Microsoft form for that. It's there as an option if you want to turn it off and channel people through to getting help from an authoritative source that might be your own support desk running on another product.
Mm-hmm.
Good-o. Yep. Yeah, just a short one, but it's, again, good to see... something coming out to Mac OS that has been available for Windows. And watch the show. I know.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Yeah, thank you, all you. I'll say it one more time. End users in the chat.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. But that's good week. We'll see what this week brings. Number of things. Daniel has also been doing a little more follow-up afterwards sometimes with articles. Tell us a bit about what's happening there with
I just wanted to kind of give some updates because and especially the last couple of weeks there's been some big changes to features that were announced and trumpeted, and we even talked about them on the show, and then they come in and change them, not only rollout dates but also pulling them back all together and saying we don't know if we're going to release this again. So I just trying to highlight and bring some awareness to those announcements. So if there's more that happened, then I'm not going to do it like every week. If there's not going to have, I'm just posting blog posts. So watch it at danielglenn.com, or maybe what you should actually do is go to regarding365.com and subscribe. And so you get all of those announcements on the website, and I'll be posting them up there as well. Yep.
Brilliant. All right, well, thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye.